What is up? It's Tuesday night, June 7th, and I'm DJ Weets. Joining me is EG Idra and EG In Control. And this is tonight's edition of Inside the Game, brought to you by SteelSeries and Six Pool Gaming. Unfortunately, Pain User will be unable to join us tonight. I did talk to him on the phone. He is sick. He won't be joining us tonight. So, guys, what is up? Welcome to Inside the Game. What the hell's up?
What's up, Wheat? How you doing, Wheat?
I'm doing pretty good. I tell you what, I was tired as shit yesterday. No lie. Like, I actually sat down on my couch. I watched the Microsoft's E3 presentation, which was not very exciting, to be honest with you. There's a lot of Kinect stuff that I don't care about that I feel like they unveiled 2 years ago.
And, it's the future, man. I hate it. No more can we sit on our bed and gank kids from Brazil in Call of Duty 5, White Ops or something like that. It's going to have to be like, you're going to have to be like running through your closet. You're going to have to actually wear camo. You have to shoot this big giant
tool
where you bought $500. You're so stupid.
It's almost come to that. Now you can like scan yourself in automatically, but it looks like a mutated version of the Xbox Live avatar. I don't know. They have a bunch of like fake families that go on there and simulate the game being played, and God, it's really just a horse and pony show. Dog and pony show? Horse and pony?
Want Secret of Mana, Wheat?
What?
Metal Gear Solid. Want the games of old.
Yeah, well, I opted out of E3. I'm tired of that. But this weekend, we had a great event, and MLG Columbus was held, and obviously Columbus, Ohio. And that's going to be the focus of a lot of what we're talking about. I'll also be opening the phone lines. But as we did get quite a bit of email over the last couple of weeks, we'll be saving some of that BNET email for next week as we get back into our regular programming. But it's not very often, guys, that we get a chance to fresh on our minds, talk about an event. Sure, we'll probably touch on some things on Live on 3. I think Slasher is trying to get the winners on. But tonight we're going to talk about a lot of different aspects of MLG and how things went this weekend. So we'll be gearing up to do that. First, Pain User was supposed to broadcast with me tonight. So there has been a change of plans for the Masters Cup tonight. It will actually be In Control broadcasting with me. And we're going to be premiering In Control's new commercial, his new Kingston commercial. He is a superstar, Jeff Robinson. I've seen it.
Yeah. Also, I'll be answering all Taryn questions for this show. So
I think we can split
questions?
Them.
Okay. I'll take the mule. You'll take Planetary Fortress.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. So
sounds good. You can just good. Answer everything with those.
I like that. So, guys, I'm going to... I forgot to grab my... Mini Wheat, can you grab the script off the printer, please? It would be appreciated. Mini Wheat was having some rough games earlier, guys. Sorry. He had to get the smack down. As soon as I get the script, and I remember what the hell we're going to talk about, but the first and foremost, guys, this is now MLG's, like, eighth, I think, StarCraft II event. You guys have been to pretty much every single one. What did you
wait, eighth MLG StarCraft?
Eighth, I mean, as in, didn't it last year? Weren't there?
I think
six?
It's like fifth.
They had
fifth?
Three last year, two this year.
Only
they
three.
Have done some sub events, but I wouldn't really consider those.
All right,
MLG,
scratch that. Five MLG events, StarCraft II. What do you what did you think of this one coming out of it?
Go ahead, Greg. You go first.
Was really really good. Not so much because it's the fifth, but the disparity between Dallas this year and Columbus this year, it was just, like, absolutely incredible. Just everything. I don't believe there were any problems with the internet issues, any of that. We had a little lag problems, but I don't think anyone even got disconnected. Yeah, overall, it was way better connection-wise, completely soundproofed, and the booth just looked cool. I mean, it was a great presentation. Massive, massive audience. Like, I was kind of worried that the viewership would drop off after Dallas just because people were disappointed. But no, it shot way up, both live and on the stream. Everything ran pretty smoothly. The scheduling is still frustrating, but really with that many people running around trying to play in 3 days, I'm not sure if that's ever going to be ideal. So
right.
That's understandable. It was just a really impressive event overall.
Jeff, your thoughts?
honestly, like, I could go on forever, and you'll have to cut me off, but I'll just say this. The growth and direction that MLG is taking their tournaments, and specifically where this one has gone, is daunting. It is inspirationally, I at one point took a picture from my phone through the booth looking at the audience just so that I could remember it forever. Like, there was people going far as the eyes could see in the finals. We filled up the entire venue, all three screens, and there's still people standing. The casters, when they would, like, raise their emotion, the audience would start screaming. It really felt like a lot of the football games I've been to, all the way up until the NFL. Like, the people were that into it. The people were that engaged and riveted. It was not – I'm not as old as you, but I've been in WCGs years and years ago where there's like 35 people, and that used to be the most ridiculous thing, and they were pretty excited, but because there's so few people, they can't really get that excited because then they look like a jackass just screaming by themselves.
And back then, Jeff, we were like, dude, there's 35 people here, man.
They paid to get in. And the people themselves, like on an individual level, I could not go anywhere without signing autographs, without meeting people, without hearing really nice things. And I'm not saying that from the complaint standpoint. I hope to God I get callous enough in 5 years where it does annoy me. I know that's kind of a weird thing to say, but what I'm trying to get at is that, like, it was so awesome how interested and engaged every single freaking fan was. Like, they were there to see people. They were there to watch matches. They were checking schedules because they wanted to. It felt like a concert. It felt like a freaking warp tour. Like, people were going to stages to see their favorite two players. Like, one of the most amazing moments for me was when freaking TLO dropped a nuke on my army. I have never heard people scream that loud. Like, I was sitting there and my monitor was shaking and like, the sound was so loud. I was very happy I still had the game won. It would have been a terrible memory if I lost it like that. But it was just like, it was the most, like, there was also one point after that game where I stood up and I waved to the crowd and took a bow. And they responded to it. And I know, like, I'm not going to be able to eloquently put this, but people need to understand there's a difference between these kind of antics in a crowd that doesn't care or know, so there's no response, and one that gets more fired up the more stuff you do. Like, as bad as it was, when MC went over and gave the thumbs down to Greg and the middle finger, the crowd went crazy. Like, people were spilling port on the stage. And, of course, you know, it's not necessarily a good thing. Greg's my buddy. But we're approaching a place where the Koreans who come next time, where the foreigners who win in Anaheim and onward, where they're going to celebrate. They're going to show their emotion. The people are going to get more fired up, and more people are going to come, because it's more interesting to go to an event like this where you lose your voice, you get hoarse, you get freaking jazzed about this whole thing, and it's going to continue to grow. And just to build on Greg's points, the booths really add a professional flair to it. It's nice that they're sound canceling, and it's nice that they...
Yeah, so let's actually focus a little bit of time to the booths, because even we were talking about last week on Live on 3, where I had said, you know, I feel like I've been in a lot of pro gaming booths, and you can almost tell the moment you step into a booth if it's going to be a piece of shit or not. And the first thing I did when I got to the venue was go into the booth, and I was like, wow. You know, the white noise adds a lot, and I assume with the headsets, and then put them on, and it was, you know, I don't know what it was like to hear thousands of people cheering, but for the most part, I was, like, really, really impressed with what they'd put together. So you guys played in them. Continue your thought, Jeff. We want to hear about that.
It just, it for me, it brought the GSL experience closer. It really made me feel secure in knowing that this game and this company, MLG, is helping to push my passion, my love for StarCraft in the right direction. Like, Anaheim, they even spoke, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, so color me in trouble if it is the wrong thing to do, but they're going to put it in the middle stage, probably. Halo, which built its life, or excuse me, MLG, which built its lifeblood on Halo, has got to recognize that 100,000+ people on their stream cannot be wrong. A venue being filled with StarCraft II fans after the Halo and Call of Duty fans have long gone cannot be wrong. In Anaheim, we're going to take up the middle of the field and we're going to push in on Call of Duty and Halo, and it's only going to grow from there. So I could not be more proud of this community and MLG specifically. I'll also say this, and the last thing, I know I'm long-winded. Lee, Sundance, and several other guys from MLG management made it their business to go around to a lot of the players and say, what do you think? What can we do better?
Yeah.
What do you like about this? And they are, you know, I've knocked them before on State of the Game for having like almost an arrogance. But they've absolutely put themselves in a place where like they know they've got something special. They want to do it perfect, and they're reaching out to people. And that, to me, speaks volumes towards what I think is going to be a very successful relationship between MLG and StarCraft II.
So yeah, your booth thoughts, and then anything that In Control said you want to respond to, Andrew.
The booths were the best I've ever seen. They are the first time where I've had a booth where the booth itself actually has soundproofing qualities. But on its own, it wouldn't have been 100%, but it would have been really good. The GSL booths are their plywood boxes. And the DreamHack booth was nice, but it itself wasn't soundproof. Theirs was completely the noise-canceling headphones, which worked really well. But the MLG booth itself actually had white noise pumped into it. The booth seemed relatively soundproof just structurally. And then they had the really good headset on top of it. So you have the earbuds in below that, then the headset, then an actual soundproof booth. You could not hear anything at all in there, despite the fact that the audience was loud enough to actually shake the stage, like Jeff was saying. So that was just absolutely perfect. And then what he said about the MLG guys actively looking for feedback and trying to improve it, especially given how much they had already improved, like coming from Dallas to Columbus, it was just absolutely incredible, and they're still looking to make it better. I was incredibly impressed and really, really optimistic for the future of MLG SC2.
All right,
and I'll say this, too, before we get too far away from the subject. There are things that need to improve. One, they need more chairs. And I know I was one of the first guys to say that from the beginning, but buy bigger venues. I don't know. Like, it's a nice problem to have. I hope they don't think, well, in 2012 we'll do that. If this game's growing, I mean, they already forked out, like, $500,000 to make sure their stream is going to work for this MLG. Then I'll tell you what. Anaheim, you're going to have 2K people standing. Raleigh, you're going to have 3K people standing, et cetera, et cetera. And if that keeps happening, it's a good thing, but it could end up being a bad thing. Like, you know, Rhode Island, they're like, well, you know, you can't really sit, so bring chairs, move chairs. You're going to have problems and shit. But also, it's just a good problem to have. Please make sitting accommodations for the StarCraft fans. Because there's that many of them.
Yeah.
And then also...
And, you know, I mean, in their defense, it is a hard thing to do. Like, I've been involved with a lot of, you know, a lot of, like, live event production. And, you know, one of the things when you are creating an audience environment and you are shooting into the audience environment, it's one of those things that in production, you never want to have too much. Otherwise, you're shooting what looks like shit. You know, if it looks like you have big sparse holes in. And guys, reference back to a few of the original GSL finals, where when they showed those sweeping crowd shots and just frankly had too many chairs, and there were a lot of empty ones, it just didn't have the same impact as when there are, you know, hundreds of chairs. And I'm not saying that like MLG is starving the chair, you know, the fans from chairs in order to create this product. But in the same token, if you're like, okay, we're going to supply 2,000 because by Sunday it's going to be that much, then that might be a little bad. So what I would propose is to continue to add these chairs as the event goes on. And I think in order to do that, you're going to have enough space in between where the crowd goes and like where all the play area is, because it just was, frankly, you just couldn't go back anymore. But like on the final day, do what like Evo does. They convert their whole frickin' area into a giant. They fill the whole thing with chairs because that many people will show up. Same thing. You know, maybe they don't use all those, you know, everything on the last day, even if they push it back a lot and then fill it out. So anyway, I agree with you 100%. Of course, I never had the problem of not having a chair, so I can't totally relate to it.
Oh, well.
Jesus.
Not everyone can be
special
DJ fee.
Jesus. No, what was it? What else were you going to say?
Well, there's a couple other interesting growing pains that I thought were... Some people might have spotted this, but I'll speak to it too, and Idric can even give his opinion if he wants. But After Idris' match against MC, you know, obviously a lot of, or no, not MC, excuse me, it was against MMA. He comes out of the booth, hops off the stage, and instantly, bam, there's a camera in his face and a guy with his face like 8 inches from Greg's, and says, "Hey, can I get some comments on game number one?" And Greg gives him the finger. And, you know, of course.
I said, what? "Don't talk to me." And then he pushes, and then I flip him off.
Yeah. So, I mean, in retrospect, probably not the best way to handle it, but extremely emotional after just losing that match. And I'll say, in towards improving MLG, my big point is there's no format for what a player does after he's done with his match. He doesn't, like, go to the left, and then there's a media moment where they do interviews or they talk, or he's not escorted to a backstage to cool down or anything like that. They just kind of walk out, and then anyone can come approach them, too. So this guy was dressed casually, was not an MLG official wear.
Sure.
And it turned out to be the, like, head producer of the MLG channel. So wrong guy to flip off, but, of course, he doesn't know him from Adam. He's just ignoring him and getting in his face.
Right.
So MLG in the future, everyone should be in official wear if they want to be treated officially. Otherwise, they run the risk of, you know, me headbutting him or Greg.
Or quite simply, "Hi, I'm Bob from MLG. We're putting a video up on the website. Can I get your thoughts on the comment?" Or take it one step further, and suddenly this is big enough, right? There are a ton of media outlets out there. So let's learn from example. And one of the things that WCG always did awesomely is that they had a little press area that was off to the side that after matches they escorted the players to, and they gave people the opportunity to take the pictures and ask the questions and spend time with them, etc. And it always works out great. And they do that for those exact reasons, because it sucks to get assaulted. You know, I mean, 5 minutes would be great. You know, 30 seconds, that kind of blows. I would love to see something like that. And also, that would give media outlets an opportunity to be shooting more professional video, because they're shooting on against a repeating wall or something like that that has the event name and all sorts of good stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of benefits to that go all around.
It's great, Greg, marketing for them.
You experienced it firsthand, so.
Are you guys saying bring the losers into that, too? Because I do not want to be interviewed after I lose, and I don't think that's a standard in most competitions.
It's not. It is winners, but it's even. You're right.
It's not. But you know what? If it gets to the point where there's so much media and money and content and interest around StarCraft II, where they, before you're in the top 16, they make you sign something that says, "Hey, after each match, we own you for like 3 minutes." If they want to interview the loser, I'm okay with that, as long as there's some formality to it. Like if they want to pull Greg out of the booth and say, "Hey, I'd like to get your thoughts on that match," as emotional as you are, because it'll make 500,000 hits for MLG and they want to push that, which I would understand, they need to protect the players. Because let's say Greg's even more upset about that. Let's say this guy words his words just a little bit differently, and he's like, "Hey, I thought you played pretty terrible in that first game. Can you tell me why? You're supposed to be really good." Let's say Greg shoves the dude. And then the guy hits Greg. You know, like, it just escalates from there and gets really bad.
What do you mean, dude? Greg would have just hit him, man. There would have been no shoving.
Greg would have unhinged his jaw, turned into the crack, and then actually swallowed him. So I think it's cool. It's awesome that MLG literally is facing this thing where they're like, "Holy shit, we've got to treat these guys like rock stars after their matches," because they're becoming rock stars. And that's pretty exciting. And I don't mean that – I'm not saying that in the egotistical way. I'm saying that on the performance and content standpoint, that MLG literally is facing a moment in time where they can grow with the speedy growth of StarCraft II, or they can struggle to survive. And I think there's going to be a lot of problems made if they just try to struggle to survive.
Well, I mean, Idr, let's talk to you about it a little bit, because obviously it happened to you. And I did have a question based off of your response, and that would be, like, at what point are you like, "Okay, I'm willing to talk about that loss," or is it just – you don't want to?
Oh, it doesn't take me very long, but just immediately after, or a few minutes after, I would not be happy with that.
Right. Like, okay.
If MLG wants me to do that, they would have to compensate me for it, because I'm going to say stupid shit and I'm going to get in trouble for it at that point.
Right. Well, I mean,
and
like,
it gets you a lot of attention, but
fair. You're still, like, even after a loss on the stage, you still have so much adrenaline, so much, you know, of what you invested mentally into the game that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
So you,
no, I would not be like 10, 15 minutes. I mean, it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't take long to come down off that, but it does take some time. And like I said, I don't think that's the standard even in, you know, gigantic international sports. You don't see people shoving cameras in the face of
right.
the loser.
Right.
And if you do, then they're not happy about it.
Right. Well, you know, in all honesty, it's just probably because MMA wouldn't have an immediate translator, but who knows. Okay, let's talk about some other things. Those are good points, and I know that I heard I heard about that issue. And, you know, from a production standpoint, even having the right credentials, like you said, in control, even like wearing an ML shirt or identifying oneself as staff. And, you know, I think it got all resolved, but.
They do better. I don't know. It's interesting. Like, obviously, let's detach our hats from like what realistically can be changed and what in the dream of dreams can be changed. I'd really like it if the second stage had seating accommodations, if people could like literally pull up and watch that match, because those matches are just as important as the stage matches.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, but more often than not, it's just a bunch of people standing or sitting around. I would love it if MLG got to a point where that stage A, the main stage, and that stage B, the B stage, where there's still seating accommodations.
Yeah, because everything around the feature station, it was still packed. Like, especially
right.
the
oh, yeah.
games, there it was standing room only, and there wasn't enough room for everyone to stand where they could see comfortably.
Right.
Like, people were standing off to the sides and just watching the players where there wasn't actually a screen. It was kind of incredible.
And you know, that's how it usually is at like the World Cyber Games events and at ESWC in the past, where there's been these large events. Of course, a lot of these only happen once a year. So this is kind of a phenomenon that we're just having that much interest. But, you know, that was kind of always a problem. And I'm not sure how you fully, you know, is it maybe that you put even more plasmas
yes.
on the outside, you know,
yep.
and I mean, I'm sure you couldn't do it for every single station, but even if it was like you just were constantly sort of selecting these stations. I mean, the featured station is a phenomenal idea, and I agree with you. It'd be amazing if we could get to that point. Do I think that we can? Yeah, because honestly, there were twice to maybe three times as many people at this event than there were at Dallas.
You know what I do too? I do the players area. They have the, I think they're called 1, 2, 3, and 4, which is where they put, again, like the third most important matches. I would have those hooked up to big screens, and doesn't have to be commentated, doesn't have to be observed, just the player perspective from each of them, but better viewership for people walking around. And at the end of the day, that's a whole bunch more wires. It's you know, $1,200 in hardware for the two TVs or whatever, but it creates a professional, much more observer-friendly atmosphere for people. And, of course, there's got to be a bright line. There's got to be a threshold. You can't – I mean, at the end of the day, people could complain that they want to see every single one of the matches, and that's not realistic. But I guess the long-winded point I'm trying to make is that I think it would be really cool if MLG aggressively tried to improve every single MLG. Like, I'd be disappointed, I'm not going to lie, if I went to Anaheim, when I go to Anaheim, and it's the same setup. Everything's the exact same. Maybe a couple rules are different. I'd really like them to be like, holy shit, this thing's blowing up on us, and we want to blow up with it. And if they did do that, they'd have a lifelong loyal fan in me. I mean, they probably already do. I love all those guys. They're doing a great job, so that's not much of a threat, I guess. But I'd really like it if they tried to continue to blow up with it.
Well, one of the things that definitely made MLG a bigger success this time around than Dallas, and not that it wouldn't have grown on its own, but the fact that the Koreans were brought out by MLG, and of course CSN had their Class of the Houses and brought out July Zerg. You know, how do you guys feel about the impact of that tournament? Now, you know, as players, you know, we forget the fact that we've talked about the seeding and whatever. Now that it's happened, now that we went through the event, you know, you guys got to play them, obviously. Do you think that that was one of the aggressive moves and a successful one in helping MLG StarCraft II grow?
Yeah, thus far, it's certainly helped them in terms of viewership and just the size and quality of the tournament to have the Koreans there. My only fear with that policy, besides the fact that I don't think it's really fair that we get seated in Code A and they get seated into the championship bracket, I worry that OGS, IM, and Slayers, I think, they all have pretty big sponsors. If they choose to send Lucira, MMA, and MC back, they certainly can. I don't think it's that unlikely that they will. And then if we have the next four who are brought over by MLG, it's going to quickly become a mostly Korean tournament. And I think it's kind of weird to say this because, yes, the Koreans are the best players, and you don't want to say, well, we don't want the best players on top of the tournament. But it is an American tournament, and a lot of the excitement that the Koreans generated was foreign versus Korean.
Oh,
people
absolutely.
People were chanting USA when I played MC. And that's a lot of what people get excited for. You get too many Koreans, and it's going to dilute that effect. And really, people can't connect to the Koreans just well because you just don't get nearly the fan interaction. You can't even talk to them directly. And people like MC are great. He builds a lot of hype around himself with all his antics and stuff. But most Koreans aren't like that. And I think it would actually be kind of reductive to have too many more Koreans in the pool. But yes, as this event was, it certainly helped a lot.
Well, and I mean, let me throw this one out there because, you know, technically, you know, what you say is true. But at the same time, the last few MLGs have been won by Europeans. I mean, is that much different?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Europeans all speak English. I mean, you can interact with them. You can connect with them very nearly, if not in the same level as a North American.
It would be naive. I mean, it's not PC to say this, I guess, but it'd be naive to assume that there's not this barrier between Korea specifically and the Western world specifically. Like, a white raw who does not speak very good English, who is Eastern European and very different from a Seattleite like myself, is still considered more closer to a player like myself than he is to, like, an MC. I'm not talking about skill. I'm talking about people relating to him, people supporting him. So it's an interesting conundrum, and I think we should talk about this a little bit longer because it's fascinating. There's a couple different perspectives. There's the one where there are a large amount of fans. I almost want to say the majority. It's dangerous, though, because there's so many people, it's hard to speak for all of them. But let's just say it. There's a lot of people who, if there were 16 Koreans in that pro bracket, every single tournament would be 100% happy. That's exactly what they want because they view them as the best of the best. That's the tournament. They want to see the best players in the whole world play. They don't really care about the interviews. They don't really care about anything else. They just want Koreans, Koreans, Koreans. And then it's interesting for Greg and I to have the opinion that I'm sure we do and many others do, because we will be stereotyped as afraid of the Koreans. And if we don't want as many Koreans here, it's because we're afraid that they'll take our money and we can't beat them.
Things I heard all weekend long.
And it gets old. It gets really old because I'm not afraid of that. That's why I went to the GSL. That's why I dropped thousands of dollars to send myself over there to stay with Greg and to try to compete. It's not to try to take their money. It's because I'd love to play against them. I'd love to compete at the highest level. But I'd still like to have a tournament like MLG where, yes, Koreans are involved, but it's not Koreans every single round all the time being shipped over here by MLG, who's paying for their ticket and giving them accommodations, like having computers reserved for them that I get turned away from, LOL. Being, you know, like, I can go on. I can complain about a few things here, but if they want to send themselves, great. I don't want to have a situation where it's like it's not possible. It's not even worth talking.
I got the impression because I spoke to Mr. Che a little bit, and I got the impression that that would not happen unless there was more prize money.
And that's fine with me because you know what? There's points. Like part of my fear is that the national championship. Huge prize, $50,000.
Right.
That's a gigantuan leap. I would really hate it if MLG was, like, literally putting a rope out there and pulling the Koreans in, like, come on, get your points so that we can have you at our national
championship. I think the extending out to the four and even CSN doing what they did was really cool, and that's a community thing, so I'm always going to be down with that. But, yeah, I kind of agree with you if it turns to 8 and 16, et cetera. However, I do think that if by the end of MLG, you know, the national championship rolls around and 10 Koreans want to fly themselves over to that, you know, I mean, as a
great.
Fan, I would, yeah, great.
Because guess what, Weed? They'd have to go through the open bracket.
Yes.
And they would have extended themselves. They would have paid for the ticket so they have
exactly.
something on the line.
Exactly.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Because the problem I have, and Greg does too, and Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, is that We hand them a ticket. We pay for them to come here. We inject them into this privileged position that, that otherwise everyone else had to earn through the previous MLGs, and they compete for 3 days. Whereas you compare that to, oh, no, no, GSL does stuff for us too. If you place in the top four of the MLG that these Koreans came to, you win a trip to spend a month in Korea rent-free at the GOM house, which is great, but you still have to pay for your food. You still have to pay for your travel, right, which is hundreds of dollars. And you have to compete for $1,500 if you win the second hardest tournament in the entire planet. You then get seeded into a group where you're there for another month competing for a much larger prize pool. But again, it's not comparable. It's not the same. If the roles were reversed, you'd see very different things. I mean, obviously.
Let me ask you this, Idra. July Zerg was apparently, in a translated quote, said that a lot of the other Koreans were jealous.
I know a lot of them are interested in traveling overseas, going to tournaments and stuff. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Do you think it's just is it the competition? Do you think it's because they see how amazing that it is that 4,000 people are screaming at them and they're up on stage and loved and et cetera, et cetera?
Honestly, I expect it's largely the money. They come over, like Jeff said, this is a great opportunity for them. They come over, they have everything paid for. They are treated really well by the event. They have computers set aside for them. They have a translator with them 24/7. And then they get top three. I mean, it's much easier competition than GSL, and it's a relatively small investment. So, yeah, I think it's mostly for practical reasons.
Okay.
But also, obviously, it's a great opportunity to get to travel and stuff like that. I'm sure they want that as well.
What do you think about that, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, that's the predominant reasons. I'm not trying to – I don't think Greg would either to break them down into robots that just want money. They went on about how great the fans were, and they were surprised, and it was awesome. And, of course, when MC runs out into the audience, he gives a shit about the audience. It's really cool. But they don't travel to tournaments based upon how big the audience is. You know, they're not like – that's not the questions they ask. They go, well, how many people do you expect to turn out? They're saying, what's the prize pool? And secondary is the opportunity to travel and see new lands, so that's cool. But again, my biggest issue for that is that I'd like it if they put something on the line to send themselves out there, as opposed to MLG giving them a free ride into.
Well, I mean, at the same time, you said you wanted MLG to continue an aggressive, aggressively trying to increase or make MLG better. And that is certainly one of the cards that they played, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just not sure if extending it actually makes MLG better.
I'd like if it was like an inaugural thing. Like
from a spectator's point of view, I believe that there's no doubt that there was an extra level of excitement there. And that was because they wanted to see you face off versus the Koreans. You know, I mean, I know that you guys, Greg, probably you especially, really look at it from a player perspective. And I understand that. Like, I'm not saying, like, fucking bring over 100 of them and just make a, like, just let them automatically be seated. It's not like that. But there were definitely extra people went out of their way. You know, it's like, oh, my God, I get to see my favorite StarCraft players from North America, and I get the opportunity to meet these four Korean people, you know, or see them play, et cetera. We have not gotten to experience that much on U.S. soil. And I think that it absolutely – novelty, yes. But it did work. There's no fucking doubt about it. I think that
having a handful of Koreans – well, again, I just like it being seeded into the championship bracket. But even having a handful of them straight into that is certainly a good thing, especially for spectatorship. That's inarguable. I'm just – worried that if there's a lot of Koreans, it becomes counterproductive because people do want to see the foreigners up there.
Yeah, and I do agree with that. And you know what? If 10 Koreans come to the national championship because it's more money, great. Then they can battle each other out, you know, with each other down in the open bracket and with the other North American talent. And hopefully, you know,
The national championship's point based.
All of it?
It won't be open, yeah.
None
from what
it?
I understand.
Is it top 32 or 64?
I thought was that is that how it was last year?
No,
we didn't have the championship.
Oh, we didn't
play
have
all that.
You're right. Good point and control.
So they're gonna have to go to multiple MLGs and get enough points to be in the top, whatever it is, 32 or 64.
Okay.
If they stay to the same thing, and I very rarely would throw a shitstorm about MLG changes, because they've been doing changes for the better, in my opinion. But if they were to just be like, well, we're going to have 16 invites of Koreans, I would be really upset. And again, not because I'm afraid of losing the money. I'm not going to the national championship only because I need to win it to pay off this booking fee or something like that. Nothing like that. It's just that I want people at the national championship to have earned that spot, because that's the idea behind it. That's the cool concept that I want to compete amongst. I want to qualify for that tournament, because that's accomplishment of in and of itself. And then I want to do well in it. I want to earn it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. All right. Some great points made about that. Congratulations, MLG, for a fucking phenomenal event. I mean, considering some of the backlash that occurred during Dallas, there's no doubt about it. MLG deserves multiple pats on the back. Sundance really, you know, and the rest of his team really did care, and it was obvious from the event. So, you know, thanks to all the spectators that came out too. Whether you guys know it or not, every single one of you, you know, makes a difference. They see that and they go, holy shit, it needs to be bigger. We need to ask the players what they think about it, et cetera. So, I want to take a little bit of an opportunity. We actually talked a lot about the improvements and, some other things like that. I know, one real quickly before we go into our next thing, Idra, you even talked to me, during the event about it, is that you kind of would like it to go for, like, a longer third day. Weren't we talking about that?
Generally, I'm just not happy with the scheduling. I basically don't eat when I go to MLGs because it's so hard to find time. Like, usually they have
3 a.m. the first day, too.
That, too. Yeah, I didn't have to deal with that, but I heard about it. And then it said, like, 10 a.m. the next day. That's awful. But, yeah, basically, they usually have scheduled times for your matches. Sometimes it's just consecutive. They'll tell you when round 4 is done, then you will play or whatever. But then everything constantly gets delayed, and you're always waiting for computers, and it's just it is understandable. It's really
every
hard
single.
To make all this
it's every single PC event I've ever been to in my life.
Yeah, only the smaller.
WCG was pretty damn good, man. We sat at our computer, we played.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna.
DreamHack Invitational was really small, but it was just absolutely impeccably run. It's definitely something that needs to be worked toward, or just like putting in an hour lunch break. That's unavoidable, because that's the biggest problem. You literally can't eat sometimes just because it's so hard to know when you're actually going to end up playing. Rhett was told he wasn't going to play for X amount of time, so he went off to get lunch, and then some fan came running up to him saying, "They've been calling your name for 15 minutes. Get in there," while we were still eating. And so, you know, it just really sucks.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I guess the MLG Nationals will have an open bracket as well. It
sounds like it will still be based off seeding and points, but yeah, anyone can play. I'm not sure. I was trying to. We might have already touched on it, but quickly, what do you guys think is the best change in 2011 since 2010 from a player's point of view?
Since 2010, that was like we're on stage and everything now, and massive seeding compared to a bunch of metal benches. Just. I'd say Dallas or Columbus would be the better question. Just everything is massively better since 2010.
Okay.
Since Dallas, yeah. I would say, well, from a competitor's point of view, it's definitely the booths and the soundproofing.
Yeah, I agree.
Echo the sentiments exactly. For me, it's not even MLG. I would say the audience was better at Columbus, and that's not a dig on Dallas. It's just that I think this game is growing still. And I think, I don't know, I already ranted about this enough, but I'm just so excited about it. It's amazing. Yeah.
No, I'm down with you on that. All right, so moving on to our next section, we're going to talk a little bit about matches. Adro, we're going to start with you a little bit. We're going to talk about your matches versus MMA. And it's kind of interesting when we talk about these games, because last week someone send in a question about what is your threshold for, you know, saying GG. And, you know, I now can put that game down as probably one of the strangest things that I've ever seen in my life. And not, you know, based off of a lot of things that happened in the matchup. The CC getting destroyed and the GG, etc. And, of course, spectators see one thing. Casters' eyes see one thing. But none of us saw basically into your head. So now is the opportunity. I really want to know what was it? You know, talk me through this game a little bit. Help us all understand.
Well, from my point of view, he had three bases established, one of them being the double gold, which includes the double gas, which is just incredibly powerful for Terran. I had a drop at my natural that I wouldn't be able to clear for some time, because I had lost all my banelings, and it was a tight area, certainly, so I'm going to clear that. And all of my mutas, I'm not sure how many were left, but they were all in the red, and muta retention is absolutely everything in ZVT. So from my point of view, I had no idea he'd kill this command center. He was going to have a bunch more Marines streaming out medevac support, and he was going to reestablish that there, and he has an easy fourth base to take. I just lost a ton of economy and all my more important units, and I don't believe I had hive tech yet. I'm not sure if I even had investors on the way. I believed it was a lost game.
Now, based off of the fact that the command center was destroyed, you know, you even said, I think it was on Inside the Game where you said, you know, one of the things that I'm going to work on is just kind of, you know, maybe playing it out a little bit longer before I want a G, you know, before you yourself want a GG. And you were mid battle still when it happened, still tanks, still a bunch of Marines out. I assume you've watched the replay?
No, I haven't, but I know what happened.
Okay.
I was winning, yeah.
So, do you wish that you would have, like, gone and looked at that gold and seeing it was just go up? I mean, like, if you could change one thing, what would you have changed about that game and how you approached it?
Oh, certainly, I just stayed. I left too early.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to give... Greg actually has an extremely fast recovery for hugely disappointing losses. It would take me like a day before anyone could get near me. I'd still be vomiting in an alley somewhere on myself. But I made him promise me that he wouldn't leave until he's like eliminated every game. And obviously that's a gross exaggeration, but I'm going to make it my personal duty to kind of remind him of that spirit at least, because at the end of the day, 99% of the time when Greg's left too early, he was right. He left at a point in time where, yeah, he could have fought it out, but he was dead, and he would have died. But now we have two MLGs where, had he stayed in, he 100% would have won very important matches.
I don't think that thing is 100%. I think that was still iffy.
We'll give it 98%.
In my heart, it's 100%, Idra.
It was very, very likely that you were going to. Very likely. And it costs you nothing to stay in the... I mean, let's not belabor this point. Obviously, it's a mistake. But the fact of the matter is, because a lot of people do want to hear this, because Greg has a ton of fans. Moving on in the future, Greg will stick it out a little while longer. And those silly games, he'll go and he'll be like, hey, did you happen to kill your command center at the high yield? And then, you know, we'll move forward. But you know what? Also, how shitty is it? Like, let's say Greg does win that game. He stays in and wins the game. Guess what Greg gets shit for then after that? Didn't really win the game. MMA killed himself.
Yeah.
And I think that's crappy. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many people have given me shit because they're like, man, Lucira's keyboard broke halfway through your match and you barely beat him. You're terrible.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
It's like, what do I do? Like, leave the booth and go, hey guys, everyone, his keyboard broke, so...
I can't count it. I can't count it.
Yeah, I'm just going to go. I'll see you guys. Next round's in like an hour and a half. Bye! This year's like, oh, very, very admirable. You know, like... So not to steal the limelight, but I'm looking forward to the point, like the community's growing, where we get to the point where shitty thing like that happens to Greg. Instead of him getting tweeted a whole bunch of lame jokes, they're just like, man, wish you would have stuck it out. You're my favorite player. Peace.
That was basically me on stream, dude.
You were funny. You and day nine. That was...
Bro, I don't get speechless very often,
dude,
man.
I know you don't.
I really don't.
Oh, shit, that was the funniest thing. And I'll tell you what, like, I'm not, you know, I'm of course not half the commentator you are, but I've commentated now, so I know there have been times where stuff's happened where I'm, like, digging through the files in my brain, like, okay, Jeff, what are you saying? What's going on? And I could see your guys' face where you're just like... Like, Day 9 was actually speechless.
I mean, it was honestly one of those things where, like, no words could have described whatever your head was thinking, you know? And that was the only appropriate thing for that right there. you know, all we could do is, like, speculate. And, like, it was hard for me at that point to speculate. Of course, we have different eyeballs on the game, too, and that's it. You know, it's kind of, it's interesting because kind of going back to what you said, Jeff, is that, like, you know, an Overlord is nicely placed. And a medevac goes right by it, and we're like, oh, shit, he saw it. He fucking saw that medevac. He's going to run in, and he's going to take care of it, and the drop goes in.
But he had to drop it in another place at the same time, so my mutas were out of position.
Right.
And he had tanks in range of the Ling Baneling, so I couldn't respond with that.
But, you know, having like, different vision, obviously we come at it from a different perspective, too. And so, anyway, I'm glad we asked about it. And, you know, I think Jeff's right. I think just, like, from a fan perspective, you know, there's definitely, I won't lie, there's definitely some disappointment, maybe more surprise than anything. But I think people just want, like, God, I don't know how to say it. I don't want this to sound offensive, but I feel like people want more heart out of you, Idra.
Well, I think the reaction to it is actually kind of obnoxious and unfair. It's just like, everyone has weaknesses. For most players, it's that they're bad at the game. And it's for me that I kind of lack focus, and I'm not particularly mentally strong. And so in some games I make poor decisions like that, or I get tilted or something. You don't go and yell at Select for having half as many STBs as he should every late game. But I get yelled at for everything. It's something I'm working on.
Right.
It is definitely a weakness in my gameplay. But I think the reaction to it is just kind of stupid.
No, I agree. I mean, as a true fan, I think you can appreciate my reaction. But, yeah, I'm not going on Reddit and making, like, fuck you, you know, Idra's a fucking idiot, know, et cetera, et cetera. So I agree with that. And, you know, there's a part of me that, like, from just a really weird perspective, even though I don't think anyone, you know, I don't think that anyone deserves that, there's a part of me that goes, God, we're that big that people cared about that much to, like, make that big of a hoo-ha about it, you know?
Well, we're a victim of our own success, and by victim, I guess it's a little bit too harsh of a word, and it's playing off the cliche. We're a product of our own success. Like, Greg's fans, because of who Greg is, will always be the type of people who will love you when you're doing great and are going to hate you when something bad happens, because that's, like, the volatility that is your character. You know, you're doing good, and it's like, okay, you win. It's amazing play. Oh, my God, he's the best player. Oh, my God, he's so good. And then when he loses, there's no GG, and they're like, did you see that no GG? You didn't even type it. You didn't even think it or anything. It's just not even there. Oh, my God. And then it's the same for me. Like, I don't have the same degree of success at all, obviously, but when I win, it's like, holy shit, he's the underdog. Great job. Oh, he did. He was so awesome. But then when I lose, it's like, hey, he's being terrible. He's a horrible player. I've seen better players in children's movies playing in the background. You know, like, it's just always going to be that way. And that doesn't necessarily, you know, it's not like that's a revelation to you, but it's something that I, too, am working on, because I still converse too much with the haters, because there's no conversing with them. They just want to – they want their 15 seconds of fame. So – it was tough because I'm, you know, we're big on Twitter, and I still read the forums way too much. But everywhere you go, I'm trying to say positive stuff, like, yeah, we're gonna train really hard for Anaheim. Someone's like, you need to train Andrew to not leave games early. I thought of that joke like 10 minutes ago. Such a fucking good joke.
I told my girlfriend about it. She was totally like, yeah, that'll be awesome.
You're gonna have great practice against himself, so that way when he leaves, he's still a win. You know? You know what I mean? You know what I mean by that? Hashtag LOL irony. Okay?
Some of that shit was funny, dude. Some of that shit was pretty funny. Alright, let's talk about your first matchup during MC and how, you know, even though you have all this other stuff, you know, one of the other games that I will never forget in my lifetime of being a broadcaster. And I think that says a lot from a caster to a player because, you know, honestly, we cast hundreds and hundreds of games ongoing, and it's pretty rare when you like, I will fucking remember the shit out of this game. And that was basically your absolutely insane drop play versus MC in your first series. It made it, like, automatically kicked off the entire tournament. And, in fact, you kind of ruined some of day one of MLG because it was like, by that game, it was like, all right, let's get into the next game. And it's not – it just wasn't – you know, there was just some, like, mediocre games after that, and everything had to live up to that. But, anyway, talk to us a little bit about this game. Big matchup. You're supposed to play Bomber, and you kind of came at us with a style that we've seen out of you before. But, you know, dude, honestly, in terms of GGing and raging out, when he jailed all your units in that first battle, I was like, oh, my fucking God, dude. Oh, this is just – oh, I can't even believe what's happening right here. So talk to us a little bit about this game.
That battle still, I don't even know. His stalkers came up. I thought, well, game's pretty much done. Let's see how this goes. And I drop all the units, and then I kind of win the battle. He made a mistake. He should have focused. He had a bunch of Hydras clumped up in literally one Matrix square within those force fields, and he had a Colossus there, but he didn't move it forward to target. He didn't have Thermal Lance yet, so I guess he was worried about me focusing right down. But a couple of shots on that clump, and battle's done. So a little bit lucky there. But yeah, actually, it's kind of funny. The game versus MC on Metalopolis and DreamHack was pretty much the game that caused me to start developing that Roach Hydra drop style. Because that game, I just felt it was absolutely ridiculous that I did not win after the advantage I got early on, that I couldn't break him. So I started looking into more drop-based play to take advantage of situations like that. And we ended up in the exact same situation. So I went drop, and it worked pretty well. He was not playing perfectly. Like, there was some truth to him saying, you know, give me an energy drink and I'll play a lot better. He was certainly jet-lagged and making mistakes, leaving his third base undefended like that. But yeah, I just got into a good situation, and I knew what to do with it. That Hydra drop style is something I'm really comfortable with.
Do you? It's interesting that you acknowledge what he said because you saw it in him. But in all the games, did you feel that way? I mean, do you feel like you were playing a MC Junior and not MC?
In the first, actually, I'm not entirely sure because I just watched a series of him versus Lucira, and he didn't look particularly impressive either. And when he 4-0'd me, those were. Well, the first three games, everyone can see that.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, obviously, that's what I have down next, so let's talk about those.
Okay, well, on Shakuris, I saw he got up Nexus first versus Hatchery. Like, his Nexus was started way before my Hatchery. That's a bad situation to be in. And he loves Blinkstalkers. Two base Blinkstalker all in versus double expansion off of those openings. It's really, really difficult for Zerg to hold. So I'm like, I'm up 2-0. He's on a mental high because he just went through a bunch of opponents and he talks all that shit and stuff. So I'm like, I'm going to cheese him. It might work. If not, I'm still up. We got better maps down the road, and this is a bad situation to begin with. So I cheese him. It fails. That's that.
So hold on 1 second. Let me – because he defended with the Stargate build.
Yeah.
And he had actually done that in the prior two games. And so another thing I saw in the net is like – you know, I might have even said it, not knowing whether or not you knew about it. But the internet's like, oh, my God, MC did this like two games before to this guy. Like, what the hell? Why did Greg even try to do it?
Mind games like that are stupid. You can never – you have to keep it in account, but you can't really predict someone's play based off previous ones, especially like MC. He showed a bunch of different strategies throughout the tournament. He could have been doing that DT rush he did at Lucira.
Right.
And
okay.
Ran him over.
Okay.
No.
But you were aware that he was like –
I know he likes that build, yeah.
Okay.
Also, that the Roachling only can sometimes bust that. I forget. It was actually a game with MC. Moro almost beat him in pretty much the exact same situations there on DreamHack, and I felt he could have done a few little things differently. I guess I was wrong.
So, first game, that makes a lot of sense. Second game, you kind of just go for it as well.
I believe that was Tal'Darim?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going for macro game there. I put down a 15 hatchery, and it's a 3-pylon block, so you can get the drone there to block it in time, and I just didn't. And people are saying, go Nidus, they're kind of retarded. He had a pylon on my base, he would have seen it coming. That means I can't get the Nidus up in his base, I would have had to put it up outside. And I had late gas because I was going 15 hatch, so quick Hydras or something. And it's not comparable to the Lucira game at all. He had two base full economy. I would have been one base, complete all in, and he would have known it was coming. It's not good.
Right, because, yeah, you were one base on that one, too. So you made a decision based off of what you saw.
It came down to letting him get that pylon block up, which was mistake on drone control by me.
And then the final game, or the game
third,
three, rather?
Third game was on Typhon, which is a really tough CVP map, in my opinion. It's very tight chokes, very bases all really close together. It's easy for him to get a third up, and then there's no good way to engage. But the natural is really, really wide open, very vulnerable to Roachling all-ins. I just happened to choose the wrong one. I did a delayed one with two queens. Well, he went really, really fast expansion into really fast void ray. Had I done the one queen, like 6, 7 roaches, 24 drones, that all in, obviously it would have just flat out destroyed him. So I felt an all in was best in that situation. I chose the wrong one. He did a kind of risky build and it paid off. And then in the last game, is Test Bug, by far the best CVPM map we had left. I play a macro game. I take a little bit of damage from his Phoenix Void Ray, but it's still way, way ahead. I know he likes to play turtly when he's behind. He's not the kind of person to do a stupid all-in to try and come back. He likes to rely on his defense and hope to make something happen. So I don't want to let him get in a situation where he has that max ball. So instead of pumping a bunch of drones, I go for an army trade. It works out fairly well, given that I take a fourth behind it and then drone up. I think that was a debatable option, but it worked out okay for me. I ended up in good shape. Then I get enough corruptors out in time to hold his Colossus ball. I am in excellent shape there. I take my fifth base. I have 2-2 upgrades. I think I'm headed towards Hive. I know I have Infestation Pit up. And then, I don't even know. I have max 2-2 Hydra with 5 Infestors versus pure Blink Stalker. And he just rolls me. Blink Stalkers, I think if you complain about anything imbalanced in the game right now, it's Blink Stalkers and PVC. I have no idea what to do versus them.
Yeah, well, I remember casting that match and thinking, well, now that the Infestors are out, this seems like it would be much more, you know, I mean.
I thought it was a one game. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, there were still issues with that attack, though. I mean, you had 9 corruptors that were pointless at that point in time because the clusters were gone.
You have to keep them around because you have to keep going Hydras, and if he even gets that 1 or 2 Colossus unchallenged, then the Hydras are just worthless.
Kind of. I don't think you need 9 corruptors for the 1 Colossus. And I don't think you need 9 corruptors for the possibility of a Colossus either. The other issue, too, is that you're on 5 base versus his 2 trying to get a third, and you attacked him before Hive. You really should have tried to, max out your... you didn't bank any money, so when DT started killing your macro at the same time as you attacking him, you had no fallback plan. So you were in a fragile state to attack at that point in time. You know what I mean?
He was moving towards another expansion, though. I wanted to control that. And, I mean, I had pure Hydra Infestor. If anything is supposed to, destroy Blink Stalker, it's that.
I'm just saying. I think in retrospect, I would have a problem if you were going to say that you played this game perfectly and lost.
No,
that would be,
did not. But he didn't either. He made a ton of mistakes.
That's fine. But I'm just trying to say, I would say in that situation, when you're on a 2 or 3 base lead, Moer Zergs would benefit from securing their bases first and foremost so that DTs can't kill one of your 2 or 3 mining bases, the other 2 are being mined out, and then bank money as well as be on Hive so that you can fall back on a different tech as opposed to, oh shit, he's got a bunch of Blink Stalkers, reload with still more of the same, only fewer stuff.
Securing bases and banking economy, I can understand. You don't, Hive for upgrades maybe, but you don't want to go Broodlords there, Blink Stalkers.
I know. Not Broodlords necessarily.
But he was headed for another base, and I felt my army was supposed to beat his. And if I was maxed,
that's right. I forgot there were a bunch of DTs.
That's why he couldn't reload. He fell back, yeah. And his base was gone.
I meant in the army, yeah. In your army. In fact, I think someone who in chat is actually accurate that there was a few Infestors that went down in there.
He had them in the main battle?
In the battle. And I'm pretty sure you had an Overseer that he targeted down first.
I know he had DTs in the battle when he was pushing forward and cleaning me up. I don't remember them being in the main battle, but maybe I just missed it.
You also attacked, and the weird doodad Zelnaga Tower in the middle of the map divvied up your force into 2.5 chunks, whereas he had a full concave because he was outside that.
That's
and when you're just Blink Stalker. Well, Greg, I'm not trying to say that you had 5 Hydras shooting at one point in time. I'm just saying that it was a suboptimal engagement at a time where you weren't banking money, and the DTs killed your fragile economy, so you were dead. Second and a half.
I'm not going to play perfect, but given the advantage I had and the number of mistakes he was making and the fact that he didn't make anything happen, he was not being active throughout the game, I feel it's utterly absurd that I could have lost that game. But no, there are certainly things I could have done better.
how, well, I think it's absurd too. That's what we're talking about.
How I mean, you were pretty confident going into that match, Idra.
I'm never confident going to a match with Protoss.
Well, that's true. You were just kind of saying 2-0 to say 2-0.
No, I said I was up 2-0. Like, he shouldn't be talking shit because I won last time easy.
Gotcha. All right, Jeff, let's talk a little bit about... thank you, Idra, by the way, for your insight to those matches. By the way, congratulations. I mean, still
good
the... I mean...
Took out fucking MC, man.
Yep.
Jet lagged or not, give me a break.
So... congrats. In control, I wanted to know what you felt like your best match was throughout the competition, and then maybe what your worst match was.
Well, I didn't play well. I was not prepared for this MLG in general. I tried to be, but a lot of people ask me how do I balance everything, and normally I'm able to answer, I make it work because my girlfriend's in the other state, so I use the girlfriend time on StarCraft. But in the event of this MLG, I was traveling 2 out of the 3 weeks going into it. Like, and the New York trip wouldn't have been so bad, except that it was 12 hours both ways, and one time the flight got canceled, so it extended a day. So it kind of cut into my training, which hurt me in this tournament. But I still did okay. I'd say my best match, the one I got most excited about was TLO. I guess we have like a bit of a rivalry going now, which is kind of fun. There's, like, no bad blood there at all, but we've now played 10 games, I think it is, at MLG.
Wow.
Which means we're, like, passing up a machine pretty quickly here.
Wow.
I pretty much go to MLG to play two people, is what it's coming into. Like,
TLO and machine.
Yeah. So,
You played him. I remember casting your game that you played against him in Dallas.
Yeah.
Where you proxy pylon him. And I didn't get to cast this one. But heard about it. What are the are those the? Was there another time that I don't know about? It was like last.
No, we just played the two. But okay. We had one awesome game on Tal'Darim. It was a really fun macro game. Was able to show my PVT strength there. I won pretty convincingly. He dropped the nuke on my army, but it was so well upgraded that it still stood there. That's a kind of a cool moment in time. But then game two, which was kind of a funny highlight to cap off the series. I definitely hit another pylon in his base, and I definitely warped in a bunch of units and killed him again. And before he left, he typed up, he said, I'm going to check my bedroom for proxy pylons every night before I go to sleep, and I still have nightmares about it. It was just so funny the way it happened. It was like literally God from heaven above was like, you know, this would really mess with Dario a little bit. Because my probe, I never went into either of these games saying, I'm going to proxy pylon, that's my game X strategy, like that's what I really need to count on here. My probe is leaving. His SCB was behind my probe. My probe like just dips down the ramp and he turns back. And I was like, you know, he thinks I'm leaving his base. Why not just pull it back in and, you know, get some scouting or whatever? So I did that. I pulled it back in, hit it in his corner. And then outside his base, I was just anticipating one gate expanding or maybe three gate expanding, very normal. But I scouted that he's doing one Rax Marine, no gas expand. And I looked at that and I said, a four gate in his base is an auto win. It's like actually impossible to lose there. I could do the worst micro in the world, which I almost did, by the way, and still win. And so I was like, I'd be stupid to not try to win here. So I threw down the pylon, warped in some stuff, and the rest is history. So that was kind of funny. And the crowd was like, the crowd's what made it for me. If we're just sitting over in the player playing that match, it's not my favorite. My favorite would probably be against Hapro because it was the first match of the tournament. You have the most butterflies at that moment in time. He demolishes me game one, and I played terrible. Like, he did just Ling, Baneling drops, which really rocked my brain. I was completely tilted because no Roach, no Hydra, no Muta, no other tech, just straight Ling, Baneling drop. And he was just nuking my mineral lines right and left. So I was completely thrown for a loop. But I was able to adjust on the fly and do a... six gate blink stalker plus two attack timing with observer against him two games in a row that he didn't have an answer for, and I felt pretty cool about that. And I had some good blink micro in there too, so those are my favorite. And then the worst match was probably my one against, I want to say, well, I mean, Major and Select both dominated me pretty bad, but they got inside my head, like that fast command center on those massive maps. That was a bad pick by me. I picked both those maps. I should have gone smaller, like Zelnaga Caverns, like every other Protoss did. and that's why they did very well there.
Versus, because someone did ask in chat about wanting to hear your thoughts on the versus major game.
Yeah, it's just that. I mean, if I pick Zelnaga Caverns or Shatter Temple or some of the smaller maps that you can't just take a super fast third on, and I don't know about it, then I think the match is a lot closer. And going into the next MLG, not only will I be more practiced, but I'm going to have knowledge of these kind of builds, and I'm going to mix in six gates or blink stalker tactics, that kind of stuff. Stuff that punishes those extremely greedy builds. Because in both those games, if I'm doing a timing at that time, they're completely dead. I don't care how bad I am. They don't have enough units to stop it. So they flipped a coin and it capitalized for them, and that's unfortunate. But I think my least favorite matchup was against Machine. We started off on Typhon Peaks, and he played it really well, but it's really frustrating to lose on that map. It's really hard to take a third. And that's what I tried to do the whole game long. And every time I lose in Test Bug. And every time I lose in that map, I always go, God, why didn't I just try to all-in them on this map? But I never do it. So that sucked. And then in the next game, we played Tal Darim. And it was one of those games where I thought I had him dead like seven times. Like DTs continuously killed every freaking drone he had. But units just kept pouring into my base. And I asked him, I figured he had like an extra base or two. And he's like, no, those are my only bases. I don't know how I was able to afford them. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I was upset.
All right, guys. Well, good talking about MLG. I want to open up the phone lines a little bit as we have about a half an hour left. And then we'll have the EG Masters Cup starting at about 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are going to be premiering In Control's new Kingston commercial as well during the Masters Cup. So, oh gosh, the phone lines just exploded over here. You can go ahead and telephone us, or you can Skype us at DJ Weed, or telephone 909-581-8519. And we're going to take our first call. It is area code 703. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey. First of all, good job at MLG, guys. It was really fun watching you. I actually woke up on Friday to see Idra beat Slush with some Baneling timed explosives, and that was just hilarious. My question would have been for Pain User, but he's not here, so I'll just toss it to all of you guys. Is there any specific reason why Terrans go for, basically Stargate, then immediately Medivacs or Vikings instead of landing Stargate, say, a Tech Lab, and then going for a Token Raven?
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, one of the biggest questions you have to ask yourself is, what does this unit serve at that time? If you're going for a Tech Lab Starport, usually you're getting that out faster because the timing window for a Banshee is more effective the earlier you get it out, because your opponent has less time to prepare for it. Their tech is less developed, their defense is less developed, et cetera. And a Raven is a unit that is it's a luxury based on time as well. You don't get a Raven out instantly unless you're having DTs run on your base or burrowed stuff. So you get it out with the idea that later in the game you'll actually use it. And both those things are fine and good, but they're specifically used, whereas the Medivac is all-encompassing a utility unit. It drops, it heals. It's the mainstay of what you're probably making, which is bio, and it's never a bad idea. Like, if the guy has Colossus, you're actually still okay to make Medivacs, you know? Like, it's not the best decision, necessarily, but it's not a bad one. Whereas if you get out a Raven or a Banshee, that is a bad decision. That's not going to help you at all at that moment in time. So you're most likely going to see Medivacs more of the time because it's safer. But I do agree with you I think the spirit of what you're saying. On one thing, I'd like to see Terrans swap out those reactors more, because they're not using the starport continuously, and I'd love it if more Ravens were a part of armies, but I think in order for that to happen, TVZ specifically, Zergs need to start burrowing their damn Banelings. Greg, they need to start burrowing their Banelings more.
Yeah,
if they do start doing that, then it's Greg's at fault for all the Zergs. DJ, we don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
Greg actually represents every Zerg.
I agree.
I've said publicly we should start using it, it's just I don't really
like
Terrans.
He did last week.
Unless they kill a
but did we center. See any out of Greg this weekend? I thought that meant that he was just going to be exclusive burrowed Banelings.
I don't know. How many times?
I focus a lot more on prepping for CVP and ZVC because I'm a lot less confident in them.
Like, it's the B button.
We'll expect it next time.
Just the B button. Just tap it. Tap it just all like right. this. Here.
Does that help you out, caller?
Yeah. All right. It was mostly because in all the current matches I see, it's just Medivac and then basically Medivac and Viking.
Right.
They never swap out anything else unless they're going pure Banshees.
Caller, can I just tell you something? Terrans, by and large, they're pretty dumb. How long did it take Terrans to figure out that the Ghost is freaking amazing, not only just in TVP, but also TBZ? And still, knowing how awesome they are, we don't see Ghosts that often. Greg, how many times do you run into Ghosts when he plays EVT?
Almost never. Major does it, and that's like it. And they're so good.
Guys, they snipe Broodlord. They snipe everything.
They do. They rape everything. Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Someone told me, I think it's three Ghosts can kill like 10 mutas or something stupid. Those aren't exact numbers, but it was some weird number like that. Like three Ghosts with their snipes can kill 10 mutas. The mutas just blow up. Okay.
Thanks, caller. Appreciate it.
No problem.
He didn't get a chance to respond to the whole Terran not being too smart. So, let's take another one. Area code 413, welcome to Inside the Game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say that. That's overly nice. Thank you. I'm glad to be your all favorite player.
He's out of here.
That's been nice of you to say.
And next caller, Tim. Tim's on the line. Welcome to Inside the Game, Tim. What's up?
Hello there, DJ Wait, and big fan of the show, gotta say. You do a great job. My question is for Idra, and I just have to say, big fan of Idra's. You went to Korea, and you did you were fantastic over there in the GSL, but I have to say, since you've come back from Korea, you seem to, have improved, so much more. You play, you just seem to have improved a lot. That's what I'm trying to say. Do you put that down to anything like practice partners you've been practicing with, EG, or do you not think you've improved at all?
I don't think I've improved that much, but my play style has gotten a lot more diverse, which gets it just makes me more dangerous competitively, and a lot of that can be chalked up to practicing with my teammates, just having the people to actually talk about the game with, particularly in CVP. A lot of these new different strategies I've been using came directly from practicing a ton with Axlev and In Control and talking to Strife Crow and Machine about it.
Yeah, it's just because, when I'm watching the GSL, obviously, you played a lot of awesome Koreans. Some of them are, that's why they're so good, they play over there all the time. But since you've come back, like I said, I've seen you, you dominated the IGN, you literally ripped it up. I don't think there's anyone who actually ended up come close. And the NESL, you've just done phenomenally well, too. I just want to say, just keep up the good work, man. You're just a phenomenal player. I hope you keep going as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate
it. Man. What? No, that's nice.
In Control, I think you are great.
Awesome. I'm being serious. It's nice. Idris, my homie. I like hearing that people are being supported. It's good. I will say this. I think, Greg, you're also playing better because you're happier outside of Korea.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's being able to socialize with people that speak the actual language that you speak is probably a big boon to your happiness. And
that's kind of nice, yeah.
Moving forward, I'm going to hype something real quick, Reed.
Yes, please do.
May or may not be a situation in the near future where everyone's going to get a lot better, too, because there might be more training going on.
Possibly, perhaps, maybe.
That's we'll always see. A good thing.
We'll see.
More training is good.
Stay tuned. Follow me on Twitter, EG in Control. More hype about that.
Oh, you son of a bitch. I love you. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take another call. We got Heath on the line. Heath, welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Perfectly. Like you are sitting right next to me with your hand on my knee, and you are about to ask a very awesome question.
It is an awesome question. Well, it was for Pain Username Control, but I guess just for In Control today. I was a big fan of Thors in TVP, and with the recent nerfs, I haven't really seen them around much anymore. What do you think of them, as a viable, the core army composition, the main unit in TVP?
Fantastic question. Because I'll answer this in two parts. First and foremost, experiment everything. So I'm going to give an answer, an opinionated one on it, but it could very well be something that people YouTube later and say, what an idiot, you know? I could be completely wrong on it. And that's because the game still, especially the Thor, which is an underused unit for the most part, needs to be experimented more with. Now, as a core unit in TVP, I don't like it. I think especially with the return of the mana aspect of it, there's too many options for the Protoss to go Templar, which already has utility against everything else in that army, but now could even be, you could argue that it's needed against the Thor, because if I could do a 50 mana instantaneous hit that does 150 damage to something as big as a Thor, then of course I'm going to make that unit, right? So you're going to see Templar, and it's not like you can go, well, then I'll switch to Marines, because then I have Psionic Storms, your Marines are stupid. So I don't think it's good as a core unit, but what I do want to say, I find it to be immensely powerful as a unit speckled in the army. It tanks a lot of damage. It does a lot of damage really quick, and then also nullifies slash mitigates a lot of the air threat from Protoss. So if you're having trouble with that Phoenix Colossus composition, if you're having the weird Protoss, it's adding, I guess, Void Rays. I don't think you'll ever see that, but I guess the bottom line is even getting away from the air units, it's just really nice when the Protoss A moves towards your army and you've got three or four Thors spaced out in that army, tanking lots and lots of damage. It adds a lot of durability to the bio composition, and it has the return of area of effect anti-air, which does come in use. So I like it as a unit that's speckled in there.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Heath. Appreciate it. I like a couple of them speckled in there too, buddy.
So yeah.
Like, you know.
Just for ambiance, you know, yeah. If anything.
Totally. Totally. We got area code 406 on the line. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No problem.
Yeah, my question is, I guess, for all you guys, and it pertains to the Koreans coming to MLG, and it's sort of known, I guess, that most of the times when Koreans go into international tournaments, they're gonna perform well. And I was just wondering if any teams or individual players might feel that they need to do something different in their game to sort of close the gap between the skill between international players and Koreans. I don't know if you guys feel that anything different needs to be done, particularly because...
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll let these two guys answer that question, but I would like to make a blanket statement from the casting desk. It definitely seemed like there were a lot of results that were kind of unexpected. Now, I didn't get a chance to see every single game, but I do feel like people maybe got a little bit of extra motivation to be the best that they could possibly be just due to the immense talent that was in the competition. Now, Idra and InControl might tell you that I am currently full of shit, which is totally possible, but... this is my observation from the casting desk. Guys, what's the verdict? Am I full of shit, or did we see some kind of some play from guys that was like, oh, hey, I didn't expect them to do that well?
I didn't watch too many games, not of people versus the Koreans, so it's hard to comment on that. But I think the Koreans are certainly they're better. They just have a better infrastructure for producing talent and practicing. But... Jeff may or may not have just mentioned something that could move us towards improving in that aspect in the near future.
And that's pretty much the point I was going to make, which is just that I think it's a natural occurrence where competition speaks towards people being able to focus more of their time on a game. So in Brood War, it was a lot less likely that someone could justify ditching everything to go hardcore pro in Brood War without moving to Korea, where it made the most sense to do that. In StarCraft II, between the NASL, IPL, MLG, you name it, ESEA has an offline tournament coming up, WCG announced StarCraft II. We're now entering a realm where people can make the practical and legitimate argument that, you know what, I'm good enough and it makes sense for me to start foregoing other aspects of my life to focus and hone in on StarCraft II. And the natural growth of that is to have other people who think and feel the same way come together, like the house that Root has in Florida, or like the pro gaming houses in Korea. And when that happens, I do not see, well, there's always going to be the ladder advantage in Korea. There's always going to be the infrastructure and societal expectation level of advantage in Korea. So that will be nearly impossible to overcome, but certainly worth the effort, I think, for non-Koreans. I think if we got to a point where non-Koreans were going pro, meaning they spent all their time playing this game and trying to get better, and they created situations where they're in pro gaming houses or spending time with, you know, rooming with other pro gamers like they are in Sweden, TLO, Morrow, HeyPro, and those guys, then I think we're going to see special players rise up who can combat the Koreans and do really well.
So you think it's just going to be like a natural progression sort of thing?
I think and hope it will be, yes. I think the climate speaks towards it being feasible, and I think the attention and interest of the players as well as the fan base means that people could very well end up doing that, yes.
Is there anything that you feel could be done between now and MLG Anaheim that could sort of close the gap a little bit, give a little edge to the non-Koreans?
There may or may not be something happening between now and Anaheim where a certain group of very smart people,
talented individuals,
very smart people could end up being in a situation where they've worked together to combat the Koreans.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah, right on. All right. Thank you for your call, sir. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Sorry, guys.
Reed's like the least subtle guy I'd ever try to sneak around. Breaking into the girls' locker room, Weed's just giggling his ass off the linoleum floor.
All right, I'm trying to settle down here. I just saw the guy I wanted to pick up, and then he went away. Ooh, I like this. This guy's got three names, guys. He's got three names. Gregory, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? Gregory hung up on me.
No, oh,
Gregory.
Man.
Oh, Gregory,
I
hello.
This is actually more just a question for...
Just listen to me over here. Listen to me. Focus. Turn off. Mute the stream.
Damn. Right. That did not turn out like I was thinking it was. Hey, DJ Wee, what's up?
What's up, dude? Good recovery. What's up?
I'm just a question for In Control, because he'd been talking about how he wasn't feeling really comfortable because of the amount he didn't get to practice during the... before the fucking... MLG, so I was just wondering what exactly is the amount of time that he has to practice before he actually feels comfortable about something, and before he feels comfortable playing in a tournament?
It's a fantastic question. For me, it's a little bit different than I would say other players. For me, it's more the continuation of practice. So if I practice for, and I'll answer your literal question too, I would say it's like 5 to 10 hours a day. If I'm able to sit down and churn out 5 to 10 hours of legitimate games where either I'm doing casual ladder play just to keep my mechanics up and get my ideas out, or it's actual training with my teammates, then I'm very, very happy with that. However, I don't like it, and this is what happened for this MLG, where I train for 2 days, then I have to go on a two-day trip where I'm not playing at all, and I come back and I have to cast, and then I'm playing for a couple hours and then not. You know, the sporadic training for me doesn't work out very well because it's ends up being like a hopscotch from one progression to the next, but they stagnate in between. So I feel most comfortable when I've got a solid like week or two before a tournament where I'm burning through legitimate and consistent gameplay.
All right, could I ask the same question of Idra? You, Idra, I guess.
Hold on, let me ask if it's okay with Idra. Idra, is it okay if he asks you the same question?
I believe we can deal with that.
All right, Gregory. Idra's going to answer your question now.
Idra.
Oh, you want to ask it again? I think Idra knows the question. No, I'm just
I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead, Idra. No, it's okay, bro. I'm just playing around anyway.
I've been practicing about 3 hours a day, and for now I feel comfortable with that. But in order to actually be actively improving, and when other foreigners catch up with me in terms of mechanics, then I will have to go up to more. I'd say 8 hours is optimal. Something like that. 8.
A day?
Yeah.
Full-time job right there.
Well, it pretty much is for us.
It is, yeah.
Right. I was going to get upset if you said anything under 8, man.
I can feel your anger. I can feel it. I'm just smiling over.
The rage is searing through the call. Weed. All right, Gregory. Hopefully you got your answer. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Peace. This guy also has three names. So Wade. Hey, hello, Wade. Welcome to Inside the Game. Mute your stream, please.
Hello.
Yo, hello, Wade.
This guy also has three names.
What, hello. Wade, don't mute the stream, Wade.
Holy shit.
Wade, mute the stream.
Hello, I've muted it.
Hello, what's up?
I just want to say, In Control, it's R for Borough, not B.
It's what?
It's R, the letter R for Borough, not B.
Oh.
Damn. Get him off the stream now.
What did he actually say?
Anyway, the question is, if you was to bring two units from Brood War for each race, what would it be?
Who wants that first?
For the Terran, I would bring over the Valkyrie.
Yep.
And the trying to think of something that they had that's really bad.
Bring the StarCraft II Ghost back to the StarCraft I Ghost.
Yeah, StarCraft II Ghost. And the Brood War Marine, actually. That would be good. For the Protoss, obviously I would bring over the Dark Archon and the Reaver. And for Zerg, the Ultralisk. And... the Defy would be really cool, but I'd probably just say the Muta.
Lurker, no?
Lurker would be absurd. Baneling Lurker?
I want those Lurkers they had in the beta that had like 12 range and damage. I want them.
Oh, that Lurker for why it's not in StarCraft 2. They're like, you know, this thing looks pretty damn strong.
No way.
Just get rid of it. You know, to answer your question seriously, though, I don't think there's any units, like, it's not as easy as bringing units over to StarCraft 2. They'd have to get changed. So, the Vulture is one of the coolest units in all of Brood War, but if you brought it over to StarCraft 2, how would it function in the climate? You know, how would
We hear that a lot, though, Jeff, and is there really a reason why the Reaver couldn't be there?
The Reaver would absolutely become a god. Like, Zerg would never... I don't think Zerg would ever win again.
Okay.
Or Terran Bio would be completely
unfeasible.
Right.
You're right. Okay.
Like, the Colossus area of effect is manageable. And the fact that the Colossus is so vulnerable, it takes both air damage and ground damage. It is, you know, people complain it's overpowered. That's fine. They can do that. But it has weaknesses. A Reaver is just a slow-moving god unit that would never... And people are like, well, in Brood War, units got close together. Not the same. Not anywhere near the same. You could get, like, 12 Zerglings in the space. You can get 60 Zerglings now. It's actually ridiculous.
It would have to be, like, tanks where they cut the splash damage down massively. And, like, first light gets to 15 or something silly. Now it did 70 in StarCraft 1. It would have to be like that or it would be overpowered.
Can you imagine non-overkill Reavers? Like, 10 of them shooting at a Zerg army? Perfectly display, like, perfectly spreading out Scarabs to just... berate the Zerg army. I'm sorry. Oh my god.
Sorry guys, I got did you have a did you want to answer that, Idra?
Not particularly.
Okay, fair enough. All right, sir, thank you for your call.
Well, thank you very much. Take it easy.
Appreciate it, Wade. Sorry, I was looking at these 1.4 patch notes that everyone keeps now posting in the channel.
What?
Yeah.
That just got posted. I don't know. Because they say leaked. There's a screenshot that has some stuff.
Well, when Nanniwa leaked his, they were right.
Force field that are casted on units won't push them away. The unit will be able to move through the force field until it moves out in any direction.
Will it be able to fire while it's doing
other
that?
Units are still blocked by the force field.
Where's the
wait, units won't get moved, but they'll get pushed in a direction?
Yeah, that sounds really
anyone
weird.
Anyone having a tough time with that as I am? My brain broken right now? It's like, they won't get pushed.
They'll get moved.
They will be moved.
These are bad.
Until they come out a different place. Which, because currently right now what happens is they get moved.
Someone just...
to a different place.
These are not true. They're they're too good to be true. They're too good to be true. Mule has a 90-second cooldown.
No, that's stupid.
Yeah, that is. That is. Done deal. All right, let's take another call. We got Jason on the line. Jason, welcome to Inside the Game.
Hello, hello.
Hello, sir.
Just a quick question. Do you ever think they'll fix the
Battlecruiser or Carrier to make them, or even Ultralisk to some degree, to make them more viable? Because they seem right now they're really underused, like, extremely.
They've expressed some interest in the Battlecruiser release. They've had a ton of various changes to it. And they've tried to make the Ultra more viable in the past. I think they certainly want them to be used. It's just a matter of actually making them fit without making them too good.
I don't know if they... I mean, they might get minor changes to them, but I feel like it's more of a gameplay thing. Like, what does give me hope is that I used to be like the most adamant Ultras are absolutely ridiculously stupid and bad. And I'm seeing them more and more, and I think they actually have more use and utility. I don't think they're the same unit that they were in Brood War, which makes me sad, but they're not as bad as I thought they were. And the Carrier and Cruiser, they're weird. Like, some situations, they're so freaking amazing, and then others, they're the stupidest thing you ever could have done. And I wonder if it's just a question of us not understanding yet when that moment is and when to go them, or if they really are that just kind of random bad unit.
All right, thanks. And in control, get your shit together and win some tournaments, because I want to see you crush a trophy in your big, muscly arms.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You will.
All right, see you.
Take care, Jason.
As forward as that was, I do appreciate it.
Look, bitch. I'm going to put my whole life savings on you in the next MLG, so you better do it. But actually, he just wants to see you crush a trophy.
I'll do it. I'll get that. I'll get that crystal up on the stage and just shatter it the second I get it. Woo! This is for everyone.
This is for that one dude that called in that one time. Jason O. All right, let's take a couple more calls here before we have to wrap up. I'm being selective with my call here. All right, we're going to try this one. We're going to try Leonard. Leonard, welcome to Inside the Game. Hello.
Hey, what's up? I was just wondering about Idris regarding the performance of Cruncher in the MLG. He made it to the championship bracket, so I was pretty interested in what his opinion is. Is he still a slash in the pan?
Yeah, he's shit. I didn't see any of his games. I heard Axelab shit all over him. I don't know how he beat Kiwi. Leonard. I didn't watch his game, so I can't really comment in particular, but no, there's no way he's good.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. No fluff out of Idra. There you go.
Greg's straight face. Come on, Greg. Yeah. No fluff. Get him on live on three, man. He can balance out. You guys became so old on that show, by the way. If we can take a moment to criticize live on three.
What do you mean we've become so old?
I want to do. You know what? You got the production for this. You got the know-how. You got the technology.
Yeah.
You pull up a live on three from like 6 months ago, put it here on one monitor. You put the last live on three on another one, you'll see Slasher going like, yeah, okay. And Scoots will be like, pardon, hang on. I don't know about that, man. Like, it's like your prerogative or something, you know? And then they'll be it's like, no, I mean, okay, hold on. Corporate America, this day and age, is doing its best to try to fulfill the destiny of everyone involved, right? And then there's the old live on three. You guys just go into shit.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Pull it up.
What do you feel like is missing?
You guys have gone soft.
Really?
You guys have gone soft.
I mean, like, there hasn't really been that much to complain about lately.
Never a problem in the past.
I mean, I complain
never
all the time.
In the past.
I don't know. I blame Slasher for basically taking over the show contents over.
I do, too. You went corporate. Now it's not the same Slasher.
It's not corporate, though. We can do whatever the fuck we want. What do you want us to talk about this week, buddy? I'm going to put it anything you want us to talk about that would absolutely be the exact opposite of what you said Outlaw Theory has become. I will do that for you. What's it going to be?
I'll email you. I'll find a bunch of drama.
I'm serious.
Send it your way.
I'm serious. And I will give you my full unadulterated, we'll just call it, you know, the In Control segment. No, we'll just, you know, whatever.
Okay.
Anything, dude. Anything. But you find the most taboo thing that you think that I wouldn't want to have an opinion on, and I will discuss it for you.
Number one, Sundance haircut. Stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Really?
Shaved head. LOL. So old school. Why do that? He had great, glorious locks, raven black hair.
Oh, my God. I didn't even – wait, have I seen – he was wearing a hat all weekend.
Shaved head.
He had it off Sunday night.
I didn't even notice.
Is that supposed to be the face of esports? Shaved head, neo-Nazi? I think so. A little bit of racist connotations there.
He's going to join 88 with you soon.
I'm waiting for the Twitter account change. Weed's like, so, more, but he thinks I'm being serious right now.
I'm actually like, I'm kind of indifferent, but I feel like In Control wants me to be angry, but I actually just kind of don't care.
There we go. That's a little bit of it.
Okay. Okay.
I'll be listening to the next Live on 3. You guys better bring the no fluff. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
you
better. I mean, the thing that's going to be hard about tomorrow is we'll probably be talking a little bit about MLG. It's hard to going to be a little fluffy about it. I mean, my fluff's going to be the fact that I didn't get to cast with Tasteless and Artosis.
You know what? Talk about the Korean subject. There's a lot of people. Cats. Bring Cats on Live on 3. Ask him about the Koreans.
Yeah.
That's controversial. You'll get people who are complaining. They don't like it.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, you email me. It's going to be for you. It's going to be for you. Anything you want me to talk about. Anything. I'm talking anything. It doesn't even have to be esports, dude, because I want to prove to you that it's not. It's still no fluff.
It's still no fluff. It is. Appreciate that.
We got, of course, our last caller of the evening. We can't really have a Live on 3 without this individual right here. So, Goatlust, welcome to the program. Hello. Oh, Goatlust, I have to answer your call. Goatlust, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game to close this out. How's it going, buddy?
Oh, yeah, not bad, mate. I'm a bit under the weather this week.
You are, like Pain User. Pain User is another one, too. Were you guys kissing at MLG?
Yeah. No, I'm afraid I couldn't make it few fucking thousand kilometers away. So, But,
Understood.
From what I understand, a kilometer is like 7 miles, by the way, Reed. It's like ridiculously long.
Yeah.
Can't tell if serious.
Good thing Greg knows how to use the proper fucking measurements now that he's lived in Korea for a while, eh?
Yep.
Yeah. It's like bloody week one all over again in here, isn't it? With the fucking people calling up, not even muting the bloody stream.
I know. Just that I felt like he recovered okay. I didn't hang up on him, so. Because, you know, then some asshole on TL would be like, I feel like you're incredibly. Just rude to all the call, every single guy that calls into that show you're rude to. Anyway, Goatless, you're under the weather. Did you watch MLG this weekend?
I caught a fair bit of it, but it's not at very good times for us. It's like it sort of goes from 12 midnight to 12 in the daytime.
That actually sounds like perfect times, but I understand.
not really on my schedule, but yeah. For the question, I've actually got a couple of questions prepared. Which one do you want to hear, something game-related or MLG-related?
Well, since sort of the spirit of the show has been MLG-related, why don't we just go with that one?
All right. So, I don't know. Moon, he had a bit of an interesting tournament. I mean, he got his free win versus Greytor. He only beat Ruby 2-1. Then he got 2-0'd by Slush, who I might add actually did that Destiny 4 gate in one of his games.
The Metalopolis game?
Yeah, but he put down the hatchery as well. I'm not sure if that's
it is at like 36, the hatch.
But okay. he took the drones off the gas. He just came in with whatever roaches he had and streamed in the Zerglings after that. But, then he got 2-0'd by Naniwa after that, and he only beat Phoenix 2-1 in his pool. And, he did better in the loser bracket, beating Sho, and then he actually beat July before he eventually got beat by MC. But, you know, what do you guys think of his performance? I mean, he's a Korean, and he didn't do so well, but, I mean, Greg, I think you were expecting him to not do so well.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a bad player by any means. He only won 2-1 against a number of good players. and he got knocked out by Nanomon's PvZ, which is really solid, and Slush cheesing him a couple of times. And then, obviously, July, who is another Korean. He beat July. I'm sorry, he got knocked out by MC, maybe. But, no, he's like a middling Code A player. I'm not sure if he's in Code A anymore. He's just not on the caliber of the other Korean players. I think that was a pretty expected performance from him, at least as far as I'm concerned.
Ink, you have anything to say about that?
It's interesting. I've seen some of his games in the NASL, and he plays like amazingly well, really awesome, cool style. And then he plays some games where it's like, I don't know what you're thinking. So he kind of gives me the feeling that, like, I don't know. I don't want to make a sweeping judgment actually of his training, because I hate it when people do that at me. So he's just kind of inconsistent. And at this tournament, he did not show his best performance, I don't think. I'm pretty sure he'd say the same thing.
I think inconsistent is a really fair thing to say. In fact, I think his entire StarCraft II career has been very inconsistent. And you know, it's fair to point out, but only because he was a Warcraft 3 fucking god. People expect him to win just because he won in Warcraft 3. It's become very apparent to me seeing him play in GSL... in NASL, at MLG, that he has his shining moments because he's fucking great player. But he's just not that great of a StarCraft. And of course, I say that, like, not great, and he still performs well. But in comparison to how he was in Warcraft 3. Yeah. That's what I think.
Safe to say.
I mean, what do you like, Moon Gutless? Were you like a Warcraft 3 guy, closet Warcraft 3 guy?
No, not.
You played
not
it for the campaign, but then you like, wow, this is a totally awesome game. I need to know.
I thought the custom maps were fucking amazing in Warcraft 3, and they're bloody awful in StarCraft 2 for some reason. But yeah, that was the main draw of Warcraft 3
right
for
on,
me.
Right on. I know you got into it when Frozen Throne came out. Should have got back when it was Reign of Chaos, dude. You know, that's when the real players are playing. Again, I'm just fucking around, Ghost. What's up? What did you want to ask your other question, or are you good to go?
I just want to, just as a follow-up with the Moon thing, I noticed Moon, he went for muters in his second ZVZ against Slush, and Artosis is always going on, ooh, fucking... Muters are actually good now in ZVZ. They're good now in ZVZ, like once the muter immobilizer's been changed. But it didn't seem to work out for him. He killed a huge fucking army with the burrowed banelings, and he still couldn't win. He still just got rolled over. So are they actually any good, Idra?
They are okay in certain situations. That mutiling baneling style, I think it still has some room to be developed. I'm not sure yet. The more common use is to just open like 5 or 6 mutas and then head into a more standard Roach Infestor game, like what Zenyo did versus me on Shattered Temple in NASL. Stuff like that is pretty good, and mutiling baneling definitely could be good, but obviously he just wasn't refined enough. And another thing is most Zergs will not be as aggressive as Slush in that situation. They'll see that, especially they'll see those initial Hydras blow up. They'll think, well, that's not going to work. I'm going to pull back and play defensively and get a bigger army. So kind of a weird situation and not really a fleshed out style, but Mutas definitely have potential in ZVZ. I think they're better in the light harass into a macro game style, though.
Until a whole lot of them gets fucking fungled, and then you want to fucking shoot yourself. Sucks.
Yeah, no kidding.
I know, right? All right, Goatless, thanks for your call, dude.
All right, thanks as always, gents.
Peace out. Bye-bye. All right, thanks everyone for their calls tonight. We're going to give the guys opportunity here for their final thoughts. I want to thank everyone who called. And by the way, I made a really, really bad mistake last show by suggesting that people contact me via Twitter as far as the email hope is concerned. Because, that was like gone in about 2 hours. So for those people maybe that are watching the show, if you want to email us at ITG at onemoregame.tv, that would be much better. So my apologies for not getting back to some of you once I realized it was a horrible idea and like 8,000 people would ask. But we do need help. A lot of emails come in. Like to separate them out, you know, sort of create categories, if you will, so that we can have really sort of focused Q&As for the BattleNet email segment. Thanks, guys. With that being said, MLG was a fucking blast. I really, really hope that anyone who is ever not gone to a gaming event or has considered going to a gaming event, and you know what, guys? Fuck PAX. Fuck E3. Fuck all those conventions, man. You may think that they're fun, but honestly, they're just fucking standing in line and just seeing shit that isn't going to come out for 7 months anyway. Spend your money and go to a fucking MLG and see how amazing it is. I really think you would you'd be happy about that. So with that being said, final thoughts, Idra. Final thoughts.
Anything. I was kind of confused. Is this actually final thoughts or is it just shout outs and stuff?
Whatever you want. If your final thoughts, Idra, are like, man, I want to give a shout out to all my people. Or if you're just like, you know what, I just want you to know that I really don't like jelly, but I'm a big fan of jam.
I do prefer jam. But
see,
I knew
you were a jam
don't
kind of guy.
Difference.
I knew it.
Don't know the difference.
I knew it.
I would like to thank everyone who likes me. And particularly Strife Crow for making that section of my shout-outs much easier. Also, Team EG. Everyone, just all my teammates and all the management and whatnot, support at MLG and just in
everyone
general.
Everyone likes you?
Yes. Well, you guys get a special mention. And then all of our sponsors, Intel SteelSeries, Monson, Kingston HyperX, Intel Extreme, Bigfoot Networks. Monster was out there at MLG giving us extra support. That was awesome. We had our water bottles and all of our gear. That was really, really cool. And a bunch of Monster, of course. I think that's it. So, big thanks to everyone.
Everyone that likes you.
Yes.
Very nice.
You're forgetting Strike Pro Shadow.
Please, Strike Pro. You know, I quoted or was quoted on the stream as saying, as far as Idra goes, you either love him or you either love to hate him, but either way, you love him. And, you know,
you thanked
your fans, so I got to thank on your behalf all your haters, too, because you love to hate him. And so that's always how it's going to be. In Control, final thoughts?
Well, my first one is that when you originally said that, I thought it was an extremely strangely intelligent thing that you said. It was like, you're going to live in like a quotes book someday, somewhere.
It's true, man.
When it becomes an actual legit map, you'll be like the Yogi Bear of StarCraft 2. I do want to say a couple things. First and foremost, thank you to everyone that did go to MLG Columbus. I was able to meet a lot of people and say hi to them, and they said hi to me, and it just is awesome. It's absolutely awesome. And I know I've said this a few times in different places, so I understand if this isn't the most exciting people for people to hear, but just know that I actually really do appreciate all that. It's kind of weird, too, because, no, I'm not going to give the haters any attention. I guess what I was going to say is that a lot of people assume that a lot of the things we do is just for, like, image or, you know, like there's ulterior motives. It's really not, in this case at least. I can honestly say I really do appreciate everyone that supports me, so thank you to all of them. There's really cool and exciting stuff coming up that StarCraft 2 makes me really excited about. MLG Anaheim is going to be bigger than MLG Columbus, which just on principle has me just like losing sleep at night. I mean,
I'm really excited
about that.
I really am.
It's absolutely insane. Just cannot wait. NASL Grand Finals are going to be absolutely off the hook, as well as like IPL Season 2 starting off. EGMCS is coming closer to an end, where we have that amazing playoff where Wheat actually goes to the Casa de Scoots and eats a giant turd of bacon.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what the plan is.
With
but
you
I'm,
guys,
I'm,
right? You're,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think maybe the Scoots. Bring me on board, man. I'd love to head over.
Let's do that. Let's do that. If anything, I mean, fuck the casting, dude. Eat the bacon explosion, man. It's fucking amazing.
I got to watch my ladylike figure, man. That thing.
Dude, you know what? Well, yeah, no. There's something special about that bacon explosion, man. Dinner and breakfast.
Also, please go vote for Anna Prosser, my girly friend. She's currently right now in Vegas competing for the Miss USA competition. So head over to MissUniverse.com, vote for Miss Oregon, Anna Prosser. If she wins that, she could poop herself on stage and still make the top 15, which is pretty cool. And honestly, it's just a pride thing for me, too, because, like, none of those girls should have the social network that we do. They should not have StarCraft
2. That's true, brother. That's true. Like,
if we don't win that, then I think that's a little bit silly, but they probably cheat, too. Let's just assume that a few of them cheated if Anna doesn't win. That's how I'll justify it. Big shout-out to sponsors, like Greg said, but I do want to give a special shout-out to two in particular. We are going to be releasing my commercial I did with Kingston and the AEG MCS cast.
Coming up and very not, soon here. Like,
I'm not even picking this up. Like, honestly, it was so fun doing it. I think it's funny. It's professionally done, so if you guys want to see kind of a StarCraft II guy getting involved in stuff that looks like it belongs on TV because it's that good, then check it out. It's going to be fun. And then Monster, who came out to MLG Columbus just to make sure we were taken care of. Like, he decked us out in all this gear. Bryce wore the hat the whole weekend. We all had the sweatbands on, which I actually ended up needing because the humidity is so terrible in Columbus. Damn you, humidity. But big shout out to Monster and Joe. So I always give this spiel, but please hear me out. Like, if Monster's not your favorite drink, but you like energy drinks, please switch over to Monster because they're supporting esports. And it's not even just EG-centric. Like, go buy Razer gear. Go buy, use the little app factory from Team Liquid. Like, the companies that are putting money into these teams and helping us travel the world and compete in these events and help grow esports, they're the ones that need the love from you guys so that it can continue to be something that they do. So,
amen, brother.
Actually, don't buy Razer, but...
Yeah.
Like, write them an email saying that you appreciate them or something like that.
Good recovery, buddy.
Send him a text or a
good recovery. We use SteelSeries, right? With buttons that have... See,
well, I know. The point I was trying to make is support everyone. Like, obviously, it sounds...
We know, Jeff. It's okay.
Look at our window. There's, like, SteelSeries in the top right-hand corner. Don't go buy Razer, but for God's sake, support everyone that's supporting us. Like,
I'm actually a fan of the Monster Nitrous drinks. They are the ones that when you open them up, they go... And they, like, spit, like, go pop, like that.
Yeah.
They're good. All right, guys, coming up in about 10 minutes, it's going to be the EG Masters Cup with myself and In Control. We're going to be debuting the Masters Cup commercial, so that'll be awesome that it will appear here first on OneMoreGame.tv. Thank you guys for a great weekend. As always, it seems like there's always more casting and less hanging out, so... I cry the fact that I only get to see you guys like for a combined total of maybe 45 minutes over those events. But I am also excited for Anaheim, Jeff, because as a father, I get to bring my son to his first gaming event. And I am pretty fucking stoked about that. I will not lie, dude. To me, this is like finally I get to... You know, drop this shit on him in the same way that, like, my dad who judged gymnastics when he took me to his first gymnastics meet. It was awesome. Well, I don't know why that music started. But anyway, I'm very excited for Anaheim as well and for you guys to meet Mini-Wheat and Jade. It'll be badass. So, guys, thank you very much. Don't forget, live on 3 tomorrow, Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We've got EG versus Mouz tonight. It's going to be EG, who's won't lie, been struggling a little bit here in the series, going up against the undefeated team right now. How will they do? We'll be back in about 10 minutes to let you guys know. Idra, In Control. Well, Idra, I'll see you next week, In Control. Actually, do you cast with me tomorrow, Idra?
Wednesday, so yes.
Yeah, tomorrow. All right, well, I'll see you tomorrow, then we'll be casting. Jeff, I'll see you in like 10 minutes. So, guys, on behalf of myself, Idra, and In Control, we're very sorry the Pain User couldn't be here tonight. We wish him the best. I think everyone should tweet him, at Pain User, get well soon. We understand you've come down with something very bad. Hopefully he'll get some cream for the crotch area so it won't be so bad. A lot of itching going on, so make sure you tweet him. Let him know. I hope the itching's feeling better, Pain User. Put some ice on that crotch. Everyone, right now, thanks for joining us on Inside the Game. We'll see you next time. Peace. crotch is burning. Just go take care of that pain.